Round of applause to Frank G. from Stockton, California.
Hello, family. My name is Frank, and I am a recovering addict. Could you bring me that chair right there, please? So this chair tonight represents, I'm going to leave the mask on. Can you hear me? Yes, no? Good. This chair represents the addict that is not here yet. I have 5 sons. There's a lot of us that have that going on. So we're going to have a moment of silence for the people that still need to come here. And don't get uncomfortable with the moment of silence. Talk to your higher power. There's power in prayer. Thank you very much. Amen. The definition of amen is we agree. It's quiet as it's kept. We're all here in one way or another because of a prayer that we said for ourselves or a prayer that somebody else said for us. When you run out of options, you say stuff like, please help me. And even though we may be confused about a power greater than ourselves, we end up crying to that thing, Most High. Even though we're confused, we're befuddled, we've run out of every option known to man. And as quiet as it's kept, you don't share it with anybody that you're using with. You don't share it when you're laying down in the bunk and you're busted and you're going to get out again one more time. And everything is going through your head, how you're going to not use and how you're not going to pick up when you leave. It's nice when you're by yourself in the darkness and everybody's slapping dominoes, talking caca and everything, and, you know, talking about all the Cadillacs and all the hoes they've known and shit. And once again, they came up with some great ass idea. And there they are again. But in the silence of the night, God, please help me. But you don't tell homie that. And as quiet as it's kept, what ends up happening, as they call your name, roll them up. And every door that happens that you go through, that prayer you said comes out of your pocket like sand. And this thing starts to move inside of you. You don't know to call it the disease. You just call it the one more. Hope he's home. Hope I can get that $20. For some of us, try to pull a burglary on the way out. I'm so grateful to be clean, as of the rest of you are. I'm going to speak for 45 minutes. You got to let an addict know how long you're going to talk because they get fucking antsy. Lots of times I'm the main speaker. I'm up here tripping, but you guys got another speaker going on. So I'm going to speak for 45 minutes. I got a couple people ready to give me the signal. My lady's right there. Don't start my time yet. This is just a warm-up, all right? So if you have to leave without any disrespect, leave quietly and don't disturb the rest of us. So just quietly go the fuck out of here. Don't make any noise when you hit the door. Because what we're going to do is we're going to work on an atmosphere of recovery. You see how powerful this thing we have? We create an atmosphere by silence. Because you don't know who's sitting next to you. And you don't know what the position of that mind and their spirit is in, that they may need this one. And it has nothing to do with me. You know what it has to do with? It has to do with the second tradition for our group purpose. And we do these things with a purpose. It's talked about in the yellow reading. One addict helping another. That we meet on a regular basis to help each other to do what? Boom, boom. That's what we do. How incredible the higher power is. How many times did you say last night it's mentioned?
315.
Boom, boom. Let's give an applause to that. We ain't putting no cut on that. No cut at all. So once again, if you have to leave, leave quietly and try not to make any fucking noise, all right? So yeah. I'm so grateful to be clean. I woke up this morning in a righteous state of mind. You guys seen? I've been clean back-to-back CC, concurrent without any interruptions. 45 years. That's crazy. That's crazy. But I got to go back. There was a friend of mine back there. I walk around in the rooms and I talk to people. I talk to people because people like energize me, their stories. I go around here asking people, how did you get clean? How did you get clean? Where did you get clean? There was a guy back there in the room. I was hoping he'd still be here. He's got 8 months clean. He stood up for 6 months. He's a Zoom baby. Times have changed. We've gone through some special stuff. There's people in my home group. I got a home group, Surrender to Live. 7 days a week, we have our own building. We come up. Yeah, we pay it on the regular. Ain't nobody throwing us out. Fuck that. We got a prudent reserve for our home group of $5,000 in case we have to move. We don't have to go to Area because Area ain't going to give it up. Area, you give the money one way. It don't come the other way. And once you give it to them, they got to pay bills. So we sit on $5,000. So in case we have to move, because we've moved something like 7 times over 27 years. Because there's nothing more important than for an addict to have a room to come to. Nothing more important. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I got here at 5 o'clock this morning. I usually do that. I come here when the lights are off. I come here in the dark. I had to turn my phone on. It was so dark in here. I am totally impressed with all this. We're under no surveillance. I feel like I'm a little bit under fucking surveillance. Got every motherfucker watching me. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell you something at the end of my share, and if I forget, it's your job to say, what was that thing you're going to remind us of? You hear me? You got me? Okay, boom, boom. So, because I might forget, and I ain't taking no chances. So you're going to sponsor me that way, okay? You got it? All right. So I get here, and I have to turn this over. You know, the third step, made a decision, turn our will. My will is that the message be carried. And I open myself up to the higher power. I get it here at 5 in the morning. I turn the lights on. I walk around. And I ask a power greater than ourselves, we need you to be here. Because without you, ain't nothing getting done. God works through people. He's chosen to do that. The second tradition applies. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. That's how I got clean, by listening to you people. I got here when I was 24 years old. I was burnt out. How do you get burned out from using drugs by the age of 24? You start sniffing glue when you're 10 years old. You get in your dad's sock drawer and you just... So beautiful to have a sock. just put that glue up there and roll it up like a taco, walk around with it all day like it's a chichi, a tit, be sucking on it all day. 20 minutes later, you're hitting spiders and shit. Because you hallucinate like a motherfucker, you know? I got to share this with you guys. I can share a meeting without cussing. Believe me. I learned in my first couple years, you know what cussing is? It's a crutch for conversational cripples. So I started working on speaking correctly. But when I get around you fuckers, somehow or another, you bring out the best in me. Motherfuckers. So anyway. So and you know what? I go to so many meetings. I love a meeting. I love it. If you get bored with Narcotics Anonymous, I'm going to give you a hit here. You know what's inside? If you get bored of me and you turn it inside out, you know what you have? You have the core of your disease. Self-centeredness. I don't know what to do. There's nothing to do. I'm so fucking bored. I wish there was something to do. I'm so fucking bored. You know what I mean? You're fucking bored. You get to a meeting, get there early, and clean the place up. Ask that person that's running the thing, is there any way I could help you? That's the beginning of recovery, is getting involved. You know how you got involved pulling a burglary? Want to drive the car? Let me go. I'll go. So anyway, I'm 10 years old, I'm sniffing glue pretty soon, and I was starting to say this, is that I'm not one of those people that I use because of my Uncle Bobby held me tight in the bedroom. Because he did. My Uncle Bobby was mentally retarded. My mother dropped me off at my grandparents' house. I'm a honky-tonk baby. This is all inventory stuff. Because I came here with a fractured personality. Not knowing who I was, where I belonged, and what the fuck was going to happen to me. I was disturbed before I could even say the word disturbed. Emotionally unsettled. I love it when the basic text says, this program has room for all manifestations. I'm one of those guys that like looking upwards. You know, when you're smoking weed, ain't nobody talking about a fucking manifestation. They've been talking, we're going to get a job tomorrow, Holmes. Tomorrow ain't nobody getting any fucking job. We're going to go pull a job, but we ain't going to get a job. You know what I mean? You know, when we get high, we do a lot of good shit when we're high. We solve fucking problems. You know what I'm saying? They need to give us more money on welfare. We'd stop pulling all these fucking burglaries. You know, we just solve one problem after another when you're high. But when you ain't high, you are the fucking problem. You're going to be in somebody's house. And the first house I always burglarize is my own. It's a motherfucker when you start stealing from your own children. So I'm grateful to be here. And so I get dropped off at my grandmother's house. My mother's name was Aurora. She's a Mexican lady. I'm a honky-tonk baby. That means when my dad wasn't around, she went to the honky-tonk, and then she came home with somebody. I don't know who he was. Puerto Rican? I don't know. And really, as quiet as it's kept, in the beginning, a lot of that stuff is unsettling. But after you do enough step work, you know what you find out? You're the son of the Most High. That's really who you are. That's who you are. And as it comes to me, because of prayer, I got to finish stories. I was mad at my mom. I was mad at her. But you know what? Besides recovery, besides abstinence, you know what I got here? I got here healing from a manifestation. You know what a manifestation is? A manifestation is when you get an idea about a person, place, or thing. When you get an idea. You know how the disease, it centers in my thinking. You won't hear me say, oh, the disease wakes me up. And no, I wake myself up and then I start thinking some bullshit. There ain't no outside entity that comes and, you know, like the boogeyman, you know. It's a disturbing thing to know that I am the disease. My thinking goes awry. What I suffer from is a spiritual malady. Separation from a power greater than myself. That's when it started. I was little. Anytime somebody in the house told me something to do, I would go like, But really what I was saying is, fuck that. Fuck that. I ain't doing that. My grandmother says, de esta leche nadie puede tragar. Esta leche es para el abuelito. This canned milk had the little cow in it. Remember the little white can? Some of you fuckers remember that. So anyway. She says, don't drink out of this milk. This is grandpa's can. It's for his coffee. You tell an addict that don't know he's an addict not to drink something, and he's going to think that must be some good fucking shit. So I wait till everybody's gone. Then I fucking make a move into the kitchen. And you know, when you open the kitchen, there's that little space in the doorway. It's almost like you're on crank. You don't fucking move. Your ears will turn into a basset hound. You're waiting for somebody. You fucking reach out of the side of your eye and you look at that can, you grab it, and you don't even nobody looking at you. You drink it, and oh, that shit's good. And then you make sure and you leave a little hit. And then after you do that, then you get the fuck out of there. And blame it on somebody else in the house. Fuck it. I love the inventories. The literature says there's a lot of us that believe that we had this disease way before we took any mind-altering, mood-altering substance. That was my first burglary. You know why? What I love about it is before the fourth step, the third step is there, and the literature tells us, we suggest, which means that you better fucking do it. So anyway, we suggest that you go over steps 1, 2, and 3 before you do 4. You know why? Frank Garcia, you need to remember that you're powerless. And the definition of powerless is not able to perform any good effect, and you're helpless and without authority. You cannot recall the truth the way that you need to actually see it. And the truth is the antidote to your disease thinking. That's why the disease ain't out there. It's right here. And that's why the conscious contact with a power greater than myself is so important. And you know what? The second step came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. It doesn't even say God. You are the power that restores me 75% of the time in my life. When I come to a meeting and I sit still and I put that fucking phone away, having a phone on in a meeting is almost like bink, bink, bink. And I know about bink, bink, bink. Believe me. I was addicted to that before I used drugs. As quiet as it's kept. I ain't bullshitting either. I leave my house with a little rag. A little lotion. I hit 3 gas stations. You think I was in there by myself? I have a great imagination. I got 4 or 5 people in that motherfucker with me. And there's a rush that comes. A euphoria. That's why as soon as I got clean, you know what happened to me? My first 30, 60 days, my umbilical cord came out. Touch me, hold me, feel me. Because that's all I knew. He told me I have to live by total abstinence. I can't take nothing. Well, fuck, what am I going to do? Got to find somebody to hold my ass, touch me, feel me. I ran around here and I wasn't using, but my disease, I was running around chasing it. Confused, confused, confused. Really, as quiet as it's kept underneath all of that, what I've always wanted is just to be loved. I'm not talking about sex. Lida and I woke up this morning. After I left this room at 5:30 in the morning, I took a walk. Then I went back to the room. And I laid there in bed with Lida. And I told her, tell me the story. Like you did, you shared your story. I told her, tell me the story, how you came to love me, how you came to want to be with me. This goes, the reason we have two of these and one of these is because we need to take it in so that our heart and our spirit can be comforted by the message of love. Where's the girl with the blanket? Yeah, baby. We just want to love you. Amen. And we're going to love you again. I'm going to share with you right now particularly, you know why the newcomers, why you're the most important person here? The reason you're the most important here is not so much it's because of you, but it's because of you that you're here, that you need to be loved on by the message of recovery. And when we love on you with the message, it becomes stronger in us. That's why you're the most important. And that's why we need to keep sharing with the newcomer. You know, that's why we get sponsees. We need them. I have sponsees sometimes today. 5 or 6 calls I get. Just checking in, spons. Loving you. Bing, bang, bing. And then I reciprocate all the time. So anyway, I got to get back to Delmas. And so my mom, I loved her. But I didn't understand what happened. And then as this thing happened to me, this manifestation, I take in a thought, and then all of a sudden, it festers inside of me. Well, how in the fuck could she do that to me? Who would do that to me? Who would take me and tell my grandmother, este es tu hijo, yo no lo puedo cuidar. Tú lo tienes que cuidar ya. Te lo voy a dejar aquí contigo. I can't take care of him anymore. He's your son now. This is what my grandmother told me. She said, ven pa'cá, te voy a decir algo. She said, come here. And that's what she told me. She said, I'm your mother now. Your mom couldn't take care of you. You're going to live with me here. My grandparents had 14 children, 7 men and 7 women. It's like being in a fucking recovery house. You ain't getting no counseling. You ain't getting no love. You ain't getting no hugging time. It's too much shit going on. Miles got to get fed. My grandmother's up at 4 in the morning making tortillas. Everybody's going to go pick walnuts, prunes, some shit. I came from a good family, hardworking family. But the older I got, the less they knew. The older I got, the less they knew. And you know why? Because the older I got, I was afflicted with this self-centeredness, this core of my disease. Grandma don't know what the fuck she's talking about. I never talked like that to my grandparents, but I thought that all of the time. I thought that. I have to go back. And Lida told me the story this morning. And it went in here and it went in there, and we talked about how we met. It's such a good story to have. There's a lot of love affairs in Narcotics Anonymous. Some probably brewing in this motherfucker right now. I got my shit. Hope you get yours. So anyway, we're a fucking great group. I'll drink to all of you fuckers. There was nobody at the dance last night. You know who was at the dance? My 2 sponsees. They were dancing with each other. I love those guys, man. One is Vico. Raise your hand, Vico. The other one is Ricky. Yeah. And me and Jess have been in a relationship for 20 years. Raise your hand, Jess. Yeah. So what happens with this manifestation is that I write the inventory about my mom. And you know what my sponsor told me? I said, why does she do that? After I wrote everything, she did this, she did that, she just should have did this, she should have that. And I tell my sponsor why she did that. And then this is what he tells me. You know, in the eighth step, we made a list of all persons we had harmed. I found out that the first person goes on that list is a power greater than myself. That's what I harmed. That's the first person that I've harmed. Me and Jesse said a prayer before we got here, and you know what? By the grace of God, I'm here. There's times that somebody put some cold steel to my head one time. I had a shooting gallery. It was a basement. I even had a sign up there, Frank's a go-gone. I'd walk around with towels. I thought it was so cool. Beach towels on my foot because I'm using crank and I don't want to make any noise walking up on a window. And I'd stand on the window like this, like a fucking... I know that motherfucker's behind the bush. I just got to outstand him. And then I'd walk back with the towels. I thought they were so fucking cool. You know how we do shit. We think we're so cool. Hips looking cool. Fatally hip. The word fatal means that the person is going to die from this thought process. Terminally means he's terminal. He ain't dead yet, but he's going to die from it. That's what they told us. If the drugs don't kill you, bro, the lifestyle will. And you know what the lifestyle is? Thinking that we could get over this shit in here. I got to talk about the first step. Your job is to follow the bouncing ball and connect the dots however you fucking want to do it. My job is just to roll with the spirit as it comes. All right? My sponsor's been telling me all weekend, how do you do it? How do you do it? You have a script? I said, what the fuck? I couldn't even talk to him for a day, half a day. He's fucking my head up. I don't do it. God does this thing. Boom, boom, we turn it over. Because we trust him. Our will is that we want to just be effective. We have a certain amount of responsibility. And you know what the responsibility is? It's really simple. It's just to be honest. But we practice that. When I came in, you know how I was able to practice honesty? I'm in a room of Narcotics Anonymous. I am astonished by these fucking addicts, but I can't talk to any of them because I have a major problem with trust. Motherfucker here, motherfucker there, motherfucker everywhere. That's my attitude. I got an attitude of indifference and intolerance to these fuckers. As quiet as it's kept. That's why I relapsed my first year 8 different times. It's not because I didn't want to get clean. I wanted to get clean, but I had an indifference. Maybe you might have to get a sponsor, but I don't. It's bad when you think you're the smartest motherfucker in the room. You're in trouble. You ever have a cat and you just pet him and he goes, brrr, brrr. I was always petting myself in a meeting. You're so fucking smart. Brrr, 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 brrr. I'm 10 years old. I'm 10 years old. I'm fucking in the front of the mirror. Ace Deuce. I'm practicing nodding my head. You know, when you're out in the street, you don't even talk to people. You fucking sign language. What I did. As soon as you see a woman, you're going like this. If she's from the neighborhood, she goes, that means it's on. Give me one, Lido. Give me one, baby. Woo! So anyway, I write about my mom. My sponsor says, why does she do all this? He says, you know what? I'm not going to have all your answers. I loved him. His name was Bud Tolson. I met him in a meeting. He had 18 years clean when I met him. He had a green jacket, fucking checkers and shit. Gray pants. I looked at him and I felt sorry for him. I said, this must be a newcomer. This motherfucker don't know how to dress. I might have to help this motherfucker. Cocky, arrogant. This was after the 8 relapses. And I went to a meeting specifically to look for a sponsor. Because by after those eight, I knew, you are not the smartest motherfucker in the room. All right? You need help. You know how the pink reading says, tell yourself? Just for today, tell yourself. I started working that program. You ain't the smartest motherfucker in the room. You better find somebody. So anyway, I go to him. His name is Bud Thompson, right? And I come up on him. And then I've been around already almost a year, going in and out like a light bulb. You know, you got to tighten it up all the time. Scurrying. Good moments, bad moments. You know, when you get clean, this shit don't stop. It's like, it's like a radio. Fuck you. You know, K-fuck or something. You know, it's just, ooh. As you're trying to walk cool into the meeting, they're all looking at you. I know it. Shut the fuck up. It's kind of like you don't know it. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. Look at her. She's got big tits. She's got the biggest tits in the room. You know? Newcomer conversation that you have. You know what I mean? It's crazy. So I go up to him and I said, you need any help? A little arrogance in my voice. The 11th step is so beautiful. God helps you to remember things that you should not forget because you're powerless, not able to remember any good effect and helpless and without authority. I always have to remember that. I embrace the first step. It's a good step. It's the bottom. It's the foundation of recovery. You know what powerless means to me? Number one. My relationship with any kind of mind-altering, mood-altering substance will never change. If I take one, I have no idea what will happen to me. No idea at all. I'd like to think. Oh, I'm think. You know? You have no idea what's going to happen if you pick it up. When you open up that bag, all kinds of madness comes out. And the worst thing that can happen is it grabs your throat and you can't ask for help anymore. So anyway, I asked him, do you need some help? He says, yeah, you can get the coffee pot over there and put water in it. I said, okay. He's pretty fucking clear with his directions, I'll tell you that. I'm filling the water up. And all of a sudden, I put the water up there, and then he goes, and then the person out there in the meeting goes, like he did tonight. And he says, stop. I said, why? What's happening? He says, we're going to start the meeting with a prayer. I said, but they're out there. We're in here. He goes, it doesn't matter. It's a point of reverence. I looked at him and I said, motherfucker, this guy's fucking cool. I looked at him and he bowed his head gently. You know, and you're new to prayer, you kind of look down and you're looking around all the time with one eye. And that guy was my sponsor for 7 years. He taught me meeting etiquette about being quiet. He took me to different meetings and taught me how to be a GSR. Because like Jimmy said, Narcotics Anonymous cannot survive unless we live by the 12 traditions. Can you imagine us without the traditions? Oh, we'd be in a fucking mess. This convention wouldn't have happened. The only reason it happens is because of the traditions. Because we get all cuckoo about each other. We go home and run, that meeting was crazy. Then we have to call our sponsor. You know what happened in the meeting? You know what she said? You know what he said? You know what he said? You gotta pray for him. Pray for him. That's how we got here. As quiet as it's kept. And we got to give these people a round of applause. Boom, boom, right? This convention is making history during the COVID, the whole thing, right? I was asked to speak in two other conventions, and I got called by them. And they said, Frank, we have to cancel. We can't gather. The Northern Cal, they stood to lose a lot of money. And they had to wait for the convention committee to cancel the Northern Cal so we wouldn't lose thousands and thousands of dollars. Because if we would have reneged, we would have been burned for the money. But because they had to give it up, then we didn't lose that much money. So anyway, what ends up happening, he tells me to be quiet. And when I'm reading that inventory to him about my mom, he says, I'm not going to have all your answers. The best thing he ever could have told me. And I said, what do you mean? You're my sponsor. He says, you're going to have to go to God. He says, you're going to have to write the eighth step. God, you, your mom, and then before you go to nine, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends. I wasn't willing to make amends to my mom yet. I was still hurt. All I did was put down the hurt, the confusion, and the manifestations of what happened, and I didn't know why. And what ends up happening, before I come to Narcotics Anonymous, I'm gambling left and right and everything, and I see this guy in the card room, and he says, I know who you are. And I says, really? He says, yeah, I know your dad. Your dad's Sam Garcia, right? And I said, yeah. And he says, I know your mom. And I said, really? I got the little boy in me was there. And you know my mom? You know my mom? I said, you know my mom? He goes, yeah, I know your mom. She's my sister. And I said, can you give her my phone number? Tell her I'd like to talk to her. Never heard from her. Seen him a couple months later. I said, wait, what happened, bro? Did you give that? I said, and then he looked at me, and it was good. He said, I gave it to her, but I don't know where she's at. I did what I could. And the little boy, once again, said, fuck. Fuck. And I looked at him, I said, all right, thank you. Gracias, pues. What ended up happening is that I found this out. You know when you make a mistake sometimes, and you can't stand to hold on to them? And you got to go do your thing. I loved your share last night. You were so fucking spot on for me. For a lot of us. She couldn't stand to see this little Mexican boy around. Now, this is what I learned in the 11th step. She could have did anything with me. She could have sold me. She could have left me in some fucking shooting gallery. She could have left me anywhere she wanted to. But you know what she did? She did the most kind, loving thing, and she took me to my dad's grandparents, to my dad's parents. And she told that lady, take care of him. I can't take care of him. And God let me know her heart was wounded. Have you ever been a parent and you just didn't have it? I got here, that kind of a parent. I wanted it, but something was so fucking broken in me that I just didn't have it. And the 11th step, I got some compassion, some love, and some understanding for my mom. Her name is Agurora. And I was able to make the 9th step amends. And sometimes when you make amends, you don't have to have the person in front of you. You just have a change of heart, a change of spirit. And in our recovery book, it says this. The definition of recovery is an active change in our thinking, in our attitude. And I told God, you take that attitude of hate and mistrust and confusion and give me the attitude, add it to me, this one of understanding and love for my mom. Because she just didn't fucking have it. And that's okay, Mom. I understand. The basic text in our symbol, it says, wholly free and freely whole. What a miracle, besides not using, that we can get the darkest parts in our heart and become healed in those areas where we're... And you know what happens when we get healing like that? We pass it on and we're more effective and we have days that are filled with calmness and joy. And you know the word to be satisfied with life as it is. And not to be tortured by it anymore. And so anyway, what ends up happening? 20 after. What do I got left? Somebody give me a real. I got 10 minutes? You fucking kidding me? So anyway. So anyway, watch this. I got 10 really, baby? Yeah. Boom, boom. So anyway, 10 minutes. Okay. Huh? Okay, okay, 20. So anyway, we're gonna put this into hyperspeed, okay? We're gonna put this into hyperspeed. I love you people. I don't want to abuse the privilege and the thing of being up here. So anyway, what ends up happening? That was one of the things. What ended up happening between me and my Uncle Bobby was in that house of 14 people. I had to sleep with my Uncle Bobby. I was assigned that spot. My Uncle Bobby was mentally retarded. Seven, 8 years old. Touch me, hold me, feel me. I'd lay in bed and all of a sudden Uncle Bobby would grab me. The 11th step says that when we get into this step, there's the God within us. This literature doesn't leave anybody out. I'm not confused about who's in the room. I know you people intimately, as quiet as it's kept. If you read this book, you know who's in the room.
That's right.
This book was written by addicts for addicts, but not about getting high or anything like that, but getting free from the disease of addiction, the self-centeredness. So I know. I love this literature because it lets me know who I'm here. And you know what? If you are famous to yourself, because there's some motherfuckers in here that are famous. Well, you can kick back because the book has been written about your famous ass. And you should read it. That's how famous you are. We didn't leave shit out. You're in there. But my suggestion is, because it's spiritual in nature, that you say a prayer like, God, please help me to understand what's in here. Because I'm powerless over spiritual messages. Because I live on a sidewalk basis, caveman style. And I need you to lift me up and inform me. And so what ends up happening is that I get clean. After those 8 relapses, I rented a room for the first time in my life. I've always used a person, place, or thing to lay my head. I've never been self-supporting through my own contributions, except when I worked with my dad and my father. And you know, recovery is one of the definitions is gaining back what we once lost. I've been self-employed now for 30 years. There's a lot of people in here. We are so diverse in the things that we do. So there are some people in here that are great parents, and they've got their families back, and they have a huge amount of grandchildren. There's some people in here that have such degrees, education, and so on and so forth. Some of us just work at just a job, and we work there for 10, 20, 30 years. And like me, I'm semi-retired, and I still like to work. You know, I'm 72. I came in here when I was 24, and so bing, bang, bing, I have to change things. I'm a newcomer. I'm a perpetual newcomer. I have to cut out certain foods. Was 120 something pounds. Now I'm 180. Almost like when I was using squat as a scale. I like being fast. I like being able to bend over without going. So anyway, what ends up happening is that, I got this self-employment thing, and I play a lot of golf, and I really enjoy my life today. I have a lot of freedom, financial freedom. Not afraid anymore. Not uncertain. So I get this room, $75 a month, and I'm a newcomer, and the lady's asking for a $2 key deposit, and all I could do was look at the bed, because I remember all of the times that I've been around here, and I thought that most of what I heard was bullshit. I realized that it's the truth, but that I'm the one that's full of bullshit. I give her the $2.50 for the key deposit. I give her $75, and I just finished scoring 3 spoons of heroin, and I was using with my brother, and I woke up in the morning, and this was a beautiful moment, a beautiful moment. The second tradition happens even when you're not working the steps, because you may not work the steps, but God's always working the steps to win your heart. And what ends up happening, I wake up in the morning and I got a $15 paper of heroin, and this is what I heard. You need to flush it, because if you use it, you may never get back to the rooms. That was the second tradition, a moment of divinity. And I paid attention to it. You're never supposed to flash dope unless somebody... unless you hear that fucking knock, and then your asshole goes, "This shit!" But I woke up that morning, and there was a quiet voice. You need to flush it. You may not get back to the rooms. And I knew who you people were by this time. You people were the ones. How divine it is to get a room full of liars and learn how to be honest. How divine it is to come to a room full of thieves and whores and just all kinds of weird-ass people, and be righteous wives and loving people. He gets the broken together, and he helps the broken fix the broken, and the broken still limp around. There ain't nobody perfect in this motherfucker. We'd be limping to a meeting sometimes. So anyway, I get that room. I give her the money and she leaves. I am not confused what happened to me that day. I stood in that room for 9 months. Several beautiful things happened to me. I surrendered to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I gave up the block. I gave up the boosting. I gave up the... I'm on 5th in San Salvador in San Jose, where I used all my life and where I was born and raised. And I'm fucking on 5th Street, and my home group is on 2nd Street, so I got to walk through the neighborhood with motherfuckers going, "Orale, Pancho, ¿qué pasa? Hey, Frank, what are you doing?" I'm just fucking shining them on. I'm moving. I ain't got no time for... "Where are you going?" "I'm going to a meeting. I'll catch you later." "The fuck out of here." So anyway, I'm moving. I gave it up. So I give her the money, bing, bang, bing. What ends up happening is that the door shuts. I get on my knees. I'm new. This is my first day being clean. What happened to me? A half hour before that, I knew I could go back to her house. She wanted me to go back to her house. That shiny thing that you put on your arm to make yourself feel good. Touch me, hold me, feel me. She fucked the relationship up. She got a sponsor. I'm Tarzan. She's Jane. She ain't supposed to have no fucking response. I started wanting to do things. She goes, "I don't have to do that." I said, "What do you mean?" I don't say it, but I think, what do you mean you don't have to do that, bitch? I'm talking to you. And she goes, "I don't have to do that." I said, "What do you mean you don't have to do that?" She said, "I got a sponsor. My sponsor says I don't have to do that." I think to myself, I got to find out who this bitch is. She's a cock blocker. You know what I mean? I go to the meeting. I'm on a mission. Who is this bitch? You know what I mean? Fucking cock blocking me. And I... She goes, "That's my sponsor." I says, "That's her?" I said, "Okay." So I see her talk to him, him talk to him, him talk to her. Hurts. Pretty soon I can't keep an eye on all these motherfuckers. You know what I mean? I don't like her. He's in the car for association. That motherfucker, they're friends. Fuck them. Pretty soon I ain't got nobody in the room. That's what happens with the homie situation. You got to cut that loose. So I give her the money and bing, bang, bing. I get in front of that bed and I tell God, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. There's something inside of me. I don't know what it is, but if you don't do something about this thing inside of me, it's going to kill me. I don't know what to call it, the disease. I don't know what to call it. There's just something inside of me. For a while, I thought I was demonic. There's a devil in me." Because you always want to blame something. But the last thing you want to do is take any responsibility for it. I told God, "I don't know what's wrong with me. Please help me. Please help me." You know the next thought I had? Almost as clear as I'm talking to you. "Frank, if you only smoke weed, Holmes, and drink Slitz malt liquor, you'll be all right." I pounded on the bed. I said, "See, it's inside of me. It's inside of me. If you don't do something about this, it's going to kill me." And you know what I heard? As clear as I'm talking to you right now, I heard you. There used to be a saying in the rooms, "We will be with you in the realm of the spirit." Yeah. I was not alone that day with that prayer. You guys came into my room, and this is what I heard. "Work the steps." As clear as I'm talking right now. Sometimes it perplexes me to say that. I don't want to scare the newcomer, but there are spiritual awakenings that are profound. Just blows the madness away. And that's when I knew I needed to go find a sponsor. And later on, a couple weeks later, you know, a spiritual awakening only lasts sometimes 48 hours. Yeah. And then the caca comes back. I want to go back there. I want to go live with her. The little boy inside of me. Because I got three people that came in to NA. There's this little hurt little boy. Scared little motherfucker. And then there's this crazy teenager. Go back to the bitch. Go back to the bitch. She's the heater's working. She's got nice blankets and soft pillows. Go back to her. And please, ladies, do not take offense. I'm not calling anybody that. I'm telling you about my newcomer experience. And everything was raw and upside down. I don't call ladies that. So what ends up happening is that this little boy wants to go back, this teenager saying go back, and this recovery man is befuddled again. And once again, I got to go to somebody. And I go to this guy, his name is Mo. He's been clean a long time. And I says, Mo, I want to go back to her, bro. He says, you think that's a good idea? I says, I don't know. I just want to go back to her. I miss her, man. He says, maybe you ought to write about it. I said, oh, fuck. Really? Really, bro? I didn't say that. You know, you think that shit, but like, really? Why don't you just tell me to jump four fences and look underneath five rocks? I could understand that kind of shit. But sit down and write and Google, 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 Google. And how is that going to help me? I don't understand those steps because I haven't experienced them. And lots of times you need to do it, and then you have the experience, and then if you trust God, then you have the good part of the experience. So I write the inventory. I go home. I want to go back to her because I'm afraid to buy toilet paper. You guys laughing at my inventory? Really? Motherfuckers are cold. This is serious. I got to go back to her because I don't know. I'm afraid to buy toothpaste. I want to go back to her because I'm afraid of being alone. That's what was inside. That was the little boy talking. The teenager, he never grows old. He is a fucking criminal. He is full of caca. He is arrogant, he's selfish, he's dishonest, and he'll always try to take me on a fucking rib that I gotta pay for. And he stands back like, shit, he shouldn't have done it. Cocksucker. Should have called your sponsor. Oh, now you're gonna talk to me? So anyway, what did I do with the inventory? I didn't read it to anybody. I was faced with some truth, and it scared the fuck out of me, and I grabbed the paper and I tore it up. I never went back. And so anyway, I got 5 minutes. Good. Thank you. So anyway, it's okay. Oh, what I was going to remind you of. I should have had somebody else remind me of what I needed to be remembered about. So anyway, what ends up happening, I got to tell you about a great thing that just happened to me. My son, I have five sons. One's in recovery. I got hurt with him. He got hurt with me. You know how we get hurt with each other in recovery? And then I apologized to him. And I said, do you accept my apology? And my son says, yeah, I accept your apology. But he's new. He's got 8, 9 months clean. You know how it is. We accept the apology, but if we don't do the work, then the thing comes back. All of my sons love me. All of them do. But when you're using, here's love, and then here's the resentment. And the resentment will cover love. And you can't feel the love unless you have the inventories to take off the caca, and then you can get back to the love. And so what ends up happening is that the second tradition happens. And this is the thought that I had. You should go to the store and buy a card and write in the card how you love him and how you miss him and how you want this thing to be healed between you. And that's the idea. I talked to my lady. She says, you need to call him. Whether he answers or not, just call him and keep leaving nice messages. And I get in an argument with her. I say, you're taking his side. Don't you listen to me? I'm hurt. So I call my sponsor. And I tell him, man, I'm angry. I'm hurt. You know, first there's hurt, and then there's anger. And you can't fix the anger because it's pride and ego and all of that. And so you have to get to the hurt first and fix the hurt. And then the other stuff just dissipates because you attack the problem. So I call my sponsor, and my sponsor says, maybe you ought to pray about it, Frank. I says, but you ain't listening to me, man. He did this. He did that. I called him, and I called him 5, 6 times. I sent all kinds of messages. When is it going to be his turn to come up? He's a grown man. This is a conversation I'm having with 40-something years. I'm a perpetual newcomer. Things happen all the time, and you go back to almost square one. Because the little boy says, I don't want to do that. Junior says, fuck that, man. He needs to come up. So my teenager's like going crazy on me. So finally, I listen to my sponsor, and I start praying. And sometimes it's essential for me to get on my knees because life hits you in the solar plexus. You ever been hit in the solar plexus? And knocks the air out again, and it knocks you to your knees. And I'm in a desperate situation because I want love for him and me. And all of a sudden, I start praying, and I start reading some stuff, some of our literature, and all of a sudden, my heart starts to change. And I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I say, you know what? I'm going to go get that card. And I get the card, and I leave it in my place for a day. And then the next day, I wake up and says, you know what? It would be good to write in that card. And I get my phone, and I start, because I want to make sure all the spelling is right. And I talk the prayer, and I talk everything, and I write it in and everything. And then I tell my lady, read it to me. I want to hear it. I want to see if it fits good in my spirit. So she reads it to me. And then all of a sudden, I go to his house, and I knock on there, his woman lets me in, and I go, and he's laying down on his bed. And I said, mijo, I brought you something. When you get a chance, please read it, okay? And I kissed him, and I kissed him like here, and I kissed him here, and then I kissed him here. And then what he did is he put his hand on me, and he kind of just didn't push me, but he held me stiff, and that hurt. I said, okay. And then what ends up happening is that 2 days later, I'm in a Zoom meeting, and he looks at me, and he sends me a message in the Zoom. He says, I love you, Pop. And then they called on him, and then he talked in the Zoom meeting. He says, sometimes I'm confused and I'm still new and I get hurt. And it's going to take me a while to let go of the hurt because I love people. But sometimes I don't know how to let go of it. But I do love people. And he was indirectly, you know, we indirectly share. And I started crying. And then before I came here, he says, Dad, be safe. Wear your mask. I love you. So once again, thank you for my healing and thank you for my life.